All right, in theory and practice and hypotenuse and a whole bunch of other words that I've referenced in the past, we should be live.
Hello, stay a while, listen.
All right, happy birthday, Millie.
Yo.
All right, so welcome to Hidden Abyss. It is a 5th edition homebrew Dungeons & Dragons campaign setting. My name is Crash. I have such fascinating things to show you. That is a Warcraft quote, not a Hellraiser quote. And tonight, I am joined by a bunch of awesome people. Eric, Ellie, Eo, Jen, Millie, a mimic sitting over there looking like Kevin, but it's totally not Kevin. Believe me, it isn't.
It's not.
Cindy.
Not Kevin.
And what did we do last week?
I kicked someone's head off.
Yes.
I am the best warlock. Proving it.
I found everyone.
I fought.
I appreciate how all these answers are correct and also give no information to people who are just
no information at all. Yeah,
but okay.
I kicked open a gate, then I kicked someone's head off. That's all I care about.
There you go.
I beat up another warlock, and like they were a Cthulhu warlock, so I felt like a little sad, but not really. And also, like, I felt Cthulhu's energies going through me as I kicked the crap out of her.
The sleep spell is still fun.
Yeah. Trying to think what Unka did, other than attack an ally, because he was
confusing. Oh, yeah, you did.
You did that. You did do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's hilarious.
You know, half orc. It looks like he's maybe hurting my friends, so I'm going
to hurt
him.
It was kind of fair.
Yeah. I could have thrown something else that would have really hurt him, but, you know.
You only just smacked him upside the head.
Yeah.
Let's see. We did that. Peter saved the day, and I'm pretty sure he's really happy about that, but, like, who cares? It was really the cloak.
To be fair, the cloak doesn't have fingers, so he was the one who had to untie Eric's family.
True. Yeah. Let's see. I also, my octopus, Lulu, is currently holding a lot of rocks, because I was ready to throw them at people.
Even though you've already had a long rest?
It just never hurts.
Oh, no, that's the opposite of the point. The rock's supposed to hurt a lot.
Well, that's true.
I mean, I think now Lulu just like picking up rocks whenever she's worried they're danger.
I could see an octopus doing that somehow.
I like to wear Lulu around my neck like a cape. You know, two of the arms around my neck and like the head right behind my head. And then just the legs are holding rocks.
Wait, I have a question. Mm-hmm. How did Eric get a +2 shield? That's a blue item. I thought we were getting green.
I think it's a +1 item. +2.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, shield +1. Still makes my AC 20. So I'm going to run to as many things as possible to say, hello! Come swing at me and see what's happening.
I'm trying to think what else we did. We found Britain's familiar.
Yes.
They ran away from the party to find the familiar.
We did.
And the devil comes down to Georgia, tried to take it.
Yes. Yes.
Technically speaking, he tried to bargain for it.
Right.
Yeah, but then
but he sent his friend to go try to take it. Yeah.
I'm fairly certain that Firefox will never refer to Mo as his friend.
Well, this is true.
That's why I said lackey.
You're right.
But this requires information that we know from other campaigns, not this one.
Right.
Mm-hmm. No, right. I picked it up already because he was like, ah, I gotta go talk to a robot. And I was like, meow.
If you were nice to him, he would have offered you a cookie.
This is canon. Yes.
Because it is canon that Firefox is configured to save cookies.
So the thing is,
that's exactly why he does it.
This person, this dude, was trying to take our shiny things, and then was also trying to talk to me when I was trying to get into where more shiny things were. Like, Paige, don't do that.
All right. Well.
Also, we leveled up.
Yes,
we did.
You did, in fact, level up, and you all got to level 7. And picking your spells for level 7 was incredibly easy. All of you immediately knew exactly what you wanted. and did not take an incredibly long time to agonize over what you wanted. That is the official statement.
Starting a half hour late.
No, not at all.
Mm-hmm. No, none of that occurred. None of that occurred at all. It was just like, oh, I know exactly what spells I want. I want this one and this one and this one, and you were done. It went so smoothly and effortlessly.
It's pretty easy for me because I only got one new one. I'm like, oh, hey, this, yeah.
Yeah, and the wizards had a couple days to do all their scrying because, when Galen and Luminous crashed the party, quite literally, because...
Oh, yeah.
Galen has a dirigible made of adamantine, and yes, that is a total riff off of a Led Zeppelin. It was an adamantine dirigible.
That's fine.
Yes. Not my joke, but still a good joke. Yes. I endorse this joke. Not even Chris's joke, because he's the one who made Galen the character. It was a friend of his who came up with it, but never mind about that. some damage was done to the non-adamantine parts of the dirigible, and also a large amount of damage was done to the dome of the palace. That thing. So it was taking 2 days for everything to get repaired. For some reason, the royal family didn't really want him to just, you know, fly out of town after doing lots of damage. But they considered him... like a liability if he did that. So in those 2 days, the wizards get to do all the spell scribing that they can do over 2 days. The rest of you can pretty much do what you want. You can help with the rebuilding efforts if you so choose, or you can just lounge around and expect people to feed you grapes. They will not feed you grapes. But you can expect it.
Anyway.
Now, I switch to Paige reclining on a couch, just like snapping her fingers, going... motioning for people over, and people just look at her funny and walk away.
The gnolls ignoring her.
Oh no, the gnolls only have eyes for Bryn.
Yeah.
So, like, is this, like, not when we're about to start? Like, this is, like, in the meet, like, one of the days of nothing?
There's 2 days' time before you're gonna head out.
Okay, cool. So during this 2 days' time, like, I cast my Unseen Servant, and I just have them feed me grapes invisibly.
That's not what Unseen Servant is for.
I think that's exactly what Unseen Servant is for. Really? It's a servant that you don't see. And they can do simple tasks. Right. Feeding grapes can be one of them.
It has special, like, and is also feeding fish to the octopus, even though it doesn't need to eat.
Okay.
You can pretend it's a growing octopus. It isn't, but you can pretend.
Sure. You know, Anka's going to help with the rebuilding because she's got some strength, so she's going to try to help.
I'm okay. Also reading things, especially since I have that new Cthulhu ability to read everything, no matter what language it's in.
The DM has some regrets.
If Fahim can't punch things, she's probably just finding some place where her strength can help things out.
Here's a hammer. Punch the walls with the hammer.
All right. So it's the night before you're leaving, and Eric, and this is where I realize I don't have my notes in front of me. I have them open in another tab.
Sure.
Sorry, Crash. The princess is in another tab. But which one? There's so many. I'm scrolling through all the notes that Eric sent me for a particular character name. This is daunting. Okay, so Rufina Galvez wishes to speak with you the night before you leave.
I go, no problem.
Okay.
I go trying to wear as traditional garb as possible. Unfortunately, probably because my armoire that has all my clothes is probably burned down. Thanks to the lovely volcano, the DM decided he wouldn't throw at us. So it's, you know.
I have good news. The it armor didn't that I have burn on. Down.
Yay!
It was one of the structures that was hit by a massive volcanic rock.
Very good.
And then it burned down. And then it sank into the sea. It was buried in
So ash. I guess I'll just wear the armor that I've had on for a long time. Whew, I just think I'll get water.
You're given a sponge on a stick to help out. The sponge regrets its life choices.
The octopus is eyeing the sponge.
Oh, this is my life now. All right. You and...
What is your part of a healthy diet for sea animals?
There you go. So Eric and Rafina are taking a nice little walk through what remains of Plantain. There are several structures that have already been raised up over the past 2 days. Imagine, if you will, the most epic of barn raisings, but without any honor.
I'm jealous.
I wonder where they get all the wood.
They didn't get any wood.
Oh, hey.
Well, volcanic ash over time and gets compressed down into rock. So like, if you go to the original Pompeii, everything was like buried in rock because it was originally ash that got compressed. So guess what? With magic, you can just compress it faster. Mold Earth is a thing. So the town was destroyed and then buried under the components necessary to rebuild it.
All these little clerics are sitting there with their cantrips going, Mending.
We don't know why Obain thought this was a bad idea. It works so great.
A little backstory.
That is Obain, the longest of callbacks.
Never use mending.
No, there were several times he did, but it was when you were away for some reason, and I was NPCing him.
Because it's a cantrip. That's, you know, so you can use your spells.
Mm-hmm. I need to cut in with a real-world situation. I handed my cat a toy, and he went to, like, play with it and, like, kick at it, and then fell off the cat tree. It was at the exact same moment everyone else burst into laughing, but...
As he should.
True to her character, Paige was not paying any attention whatsoever and laughed at something else.
All right. No. I'm reading something, or I'm, like, playing with my octopus friend, or I'm playing with my snake staff friend.
Okay. Well, we'll actually get to you in a moment.
Cool.
That doesn't sound ominous at all. So you're walking through, and most people are just, you know, doing their own thing, or it's getting kind of late at night, so a lot of them have already gone to bed for the evening, and Rafina says, your father's quite disappointed that you're choosing to leave, you know.
I know.
He's not my real dad.
You're not there. And yes, you're right. Eric's father is not your real dad.
That you know.
It would be really weird because if Ken Fahim's real father is a human, that's a little weird.
Crap, I did character development.
That's an out of context quote right there. Crap, there's character development. What have I done?
I know this, but my friends and I need help, and I must help them with everything that they have, and I hope he understands all.
Well, I think he just worries about you. It's why he didn't take you with him 10 years ago when he went to the Orphans. But all of us see the growth you've made in such a short time. Your reasons for leaving Plantain are somewhat suspect, but you've grown so much in such a short time.
Well, I appreciate that. I'll make sure I come back in one piece after I help my friends achieve what they need to help.
So like your father. He won't tell you the stories of his youth, but his adventuring days tempered him as well.
Well, I hope one of these days I can be the man that he is.
Oh no, I think you'll be better. But it's getting late, and you have a very early morning. I'll leave you to however you intend to say goodbye. And she takes her leave. Later that night, Paige, you wake up.
Yeah.
Now, you wake up not in your bed. Your unseen servant is nowhere to be seen, and there is a severe lack of grapes.
What? So
you're quite upset. But you apparently have been having a long walk on the beach.
Man, I wish I took that underwater breathing spell.
Well, you might be able to ask that very large person in front of you.
Oh, hey.
They are wearing a cloak, but from their height, you assume they're one of the Goliaths that was seen in town before. And they pull out something. Now, do you have dark vision?
Let me see. I don't know.
I don't think Kenku do.
I don't know if they naturally do. I don't think I do.
Okay. So there's not a whole lot of light here. There's some stars in the sky. So you can make out shapes. They hold out something. They set it down in front of you, and they just start walking away.
I kind of like awkwardly like put up a like a wink like wave.
Your best guess is they have not turned around to look back at you. They're just leaving.
No, but like, you know, I feel like I should like, okay, bye.
Okay.
I look at the thing.
Give me a perception check because it is very dark.
Dang it, wrong way.
Yeah, put the slash in front of the R.
I always forget the first time. Five.
Okay. So maybe they dropped a rock, or it could be a coin, or it could be a dull rock. Maybe it's a biscuit. It could be an English muffin. It might very well be an English muffin.
I pick it up.
Okay. Give me a charisma saving throw.
Oh, gosh.
So you know that comic I linked in Discord where I found a shiny rock. I pick it up. Okay. Give me a constitution saving throw. Oh, no.
24.
Okay. Congratulations. You are not immediately dominated.
Yay!
Not that would have happened.
What do I have? Where do you win, folks?
Would it?
You have what looks like an octopus beak.
An octopus key?
Beak. Like the only hard part of an octopus.
Yeah! What about it?
It looks incredibly old, like possibly even fossilized.
Does anything else, or am I just now standing here awkwardly on a beach holding a Lulu's mom?
You are apparently standing there on a beach awkwardly holding what's left of Lulu's mom, because most of it was fleshy bits.
Yeah.
You could, if you so choose, use the beak as kind of like a hand puppet.
Yes!
It's about the right size.
Drop casting spells. No! Don't deface the mural. Why not? Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay, well, it is the next morning, and the dirigible is at one of the docks, and everyone's boarding. Is there anyone that wants to say anything to anyone before they go?
So I'm guessing that I got thrown with the group because they didn't want me in Plantain anymore.
That or Plantain is incredibly boring because you've already stolen, I mean, read all the books.
Yeah, because I can read everything. So, can I even read My Kids Love Tricks? You bet it.
Eric wants to go see Prez before he...
Okay.
Oh, before that happens, Paige sticks her head into the ocean and screams once more, whatever fish person thing it was, Murloc thing it was, for I have a head injury, and then laughs as she gets on the boat.
Paige gets a bunch of strange looks that she does not notice.
Nor do I care. I also double check in my bag that I have more of that underwater breathing plant because I grabbed like a million of them.
So you do, but it looks like it hasn't weathered your bag very well over the past 2 days.
Dang it!
And the bag is in worse shape for the effort.
Dang it. I tried.
There might be a mildew issue.
I'll clean it later.
And by later, we mean probably not.
Yeah.
And
someone else carries the food for the party anyway, right?
Probably me.
We haven't really talked about that much.
But I can create and destroy water, so there's at least water, but I don't know about food. I know I'm carrying the bag of holding, so whatever's in there.
You know what? Sure, then who cares about my stuff?
You pull a book out and everyone goes, "What's that smell?" Oh well. Perez is, his office is a tent right now, because he refuses to sleep under a roof while there are people who can't. So that's pretty much where he's doing the paladin head of the guard equivalent of holding court for like morning meetings and stuff and organizing things. And he sees you approaching, Eric, and he says, "Reporting for duty?"
"I am not. I will be helping my friends. We've been through a lot since I disappeared that one drunken night, and I've seen a lot of things that they've went through. And I think my time and my, I'm sorry, I'm doing this without the accent because it's the only way I can do it without stumbling over myself."
The DM appreciates this because he's the one who produces the podcast and has to tell people every single time. And matter of fact, for one of them that I've uploaded that hasn't gone live yet, I had to include a verbal component like that I wrote up saying, by the way, Eric is Puerto Rican. All these stereotypes are his idea. The DM is not touching this. And as a white guy, he's not saying what can and can't be done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's my, I feel it's my duty to help them along with their messes and their prophecies of doom, just as they helped me with mine. I think you taught me the value of helping your friends and your family all those years when you went away to battle the orcs. So I think it's time for me to help my friends as well. I know you're going to be probably not very happy with this decision.
Battle the orcs. I did not battle the orcs. I left. There were orcs, but I did not leave to battle the orcs. I left to keep you safe. I left to keep everyone I cared about safe. Don't run off to a battle. That's Eric, my son. That's how you get killed. Don't ever run off to a battle.
But fight. I don't see it like that. I don't see it like that. I see it as me keeping the rest of what we have here safe, and that's what I'm going to do.
He walks up to you and puts a hand on on your shoulder and says, come back safe.
I give him a hug. Just so you know, our character hasn't hugged him since he was a boy.
There is an incredibly awkward moment where his arms are out because he let you hug him. And he's just like, okay, we're doing this now. And then he reaches his arms in and sort of awkwardly pats you on the back. And then he hugs you for real.
If Paige was nearby, she would have retched.
It's a good thing that Paige is currently being instructed by Galen that she should not be pressing any of the buttons. Yes, especially that large one in the back. Don't go near that button.
I have to know what they do.
That button is only to be pressed when you are outside of a gravity well. You don't press that here. That engages the warp core. You don't touch that button.
But I want to go fast. I want to go fast.
You would go fast. You would be atomized. You wouldn't even be a fine red mist because a mist requires it to remain airborne. You'd be a fine red layer of thin paint on the backside of the blimp.
That sounds fun.
He went to blad.
I am still amused that I gave Chris's character a warp drive for his invention and set it up so that he could never actually use it. Although canonically, it's been used once.
I would say, didn't we use it once?
Not while Galen was being controlled by Chris, but it was used against the ancient green dragon that was the big bad for the previous campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it went to Plaid and hit the ancient green dragon after it took down a flying city and didn't kill the dragon.
Tragic.
I know. Well, we needed a ragtag band of adventurers to do that. Everyone knows that's how it works. Major villains do not get killed by NPCs.
Tragic.
Yeah.
All problems are solved by adventurers.
Yeah, that's how it works. Except for accounting issues.
Well, those then are you boring. Just punch the accountants.
When you let adventurers solve accounting issues,
you need clerics
they break
for that.
The economy.
I just assume the adventurers are causing the accounting issues because so many of them can steal.
We have a surplus. No, we don't.
Stop saying that.
All we have left is this gold piece. Which one? There was one right here. Random adventurer, do you know what happened to the gold piece that was here? No?
No.
Why do your pants jingle when you walk like that?
That's just what my pants do.
Yeah, there you are. I have extra chains on the side.
And why did you tie the legs of the pants so tightly around your ankles like that? Oh, to keep the gold from falling. It's a fashion statement. That's why.
Do you understand fashion?
I mean, have you tried to hammer dance without the tight ankles?
Oh.
Vahim already has inspiration. All right. So the dirigible is boarding. Luminous and Galen are there. Galen and Luminous are both wearing Hawaiian print shirts because...
I thought you were wearing hammer pants.
They're still on vacation. No, they are not, in fact, wearing hammer pants. If they were, they'd be swimming in them because they are gnomes. Mm-hmm. Galen is wearing very dark sunglasses. And as he's commencing preparations for liftoff, he is pressing all the buttons and turning all the levers. Some of you might suspect that he's putting on a show when he does all this and doing things that don't need to be done. He is a bard, so that is a possibility. But also, he's a gnome, so he might actually need to do all this. He might have actually built this to require him to do all this, but never mind about that.
Showy and practical.
I know, right? He says, okay, everyone, hold on tight. We're about to lift off. Please keep all hands, arms, legs, tails, and any other limbs inside the dirigible at all times until we come to a full and complete stop at our destination. Anyone who spits over the side, please do so in a way where they can't track us.
Ren looks
Unca grabs Peter as he tries to spit over the side. No, no, don't do that.
Does Unca have inspiration?
No.
You get inspiration for being a wonderful mom.
Aww.
She's just sad because she wanted to see what was going to happen.
There's an image, and I shared this also. Someone tweeted it, where parenting in one photo, and there's a little kid that's reaching out towards a birthday cake candle, and there's two blurry hands, because they're in motion, reaching towards the kid at the same time to stop them from doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw that one.
Yeah, that is totally parenting in a single image.
But and I'm the hand from behind pushing them towards the candle.
You're whispering into their ear, doesn't that look shiny? You should touch the shiny.
What happens when you touch it?
They don't want you to touch it because then you'd have the shiny and they wouldn't.
It's so warm. And you're so cold, it's an ice cream cake. The warmth might help.
This is incredibly horrible advice.
Paige should not be trusted near children.
And there's a child in the party. This is going to go very well.
Yes. Which is why Anka is standing right next to him the whole time we're on this thing.
Okay. And you lift off and... It takes about a day to get to the area called the Free Cities. The Free Cities, as you may have guessed, are not just one location. They are independent communities.
Is it like Greece?
Sorry? What was that?
Is it like Greece?
Very much like Greece. They don't wear togas, though.
Athens or Sparta?
Well, there's a variety of Free Cities. Sandstone is the one that Sanctimonious is from. But there's others. There's one called Murica. I don't get the reference.
Sandstorm, the song.
No, Sandstone.
Oh.
That was rude.
Oh.
12.
I'm a horrible person.
Oh, Murica and Mareku.
Mareku is one of them, yes. And I honestly don't remember the name of the free city that Bryn is from.
I'm not sure we named it.
Okay, well.
Brynston. What was it?
Brynston.
You made me hit the mic. I was laughing so hard. Okay, so we're heading towards the city that will be named later when Bryn comes up with the name for the city she's from.
Brynston.
That Brynston is the placeholder. It is, as far as Paige is concerned, that's what it's called. Unfortunately, Paige does not have language, so no one but Paige calls it Brynston.
It's kind of the mental thing of like, check.
If someone else tries to give it a name, Paige just goes, no, this is read-only.
Yeah, I don't listen. Just like, you know, Unka's still orc lady.
Yeah. I think she's orc lady to a lot of people that don't know her, so...
Yeah.
Peter is young thing. Or experiment one.
Bryn is scary tall mom. Sorry, no. Onka is scary tall mom. Bryn is scary short mom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Fahim is muscle friend.
Which works, yeah.
Fahim would probably be appreciative of such a name.
I thought so.
I'm just guessing here. It's Cindy's character, so she gets to decide. But still,
Yes, yes, she would.
There we go.
Decision made.
Your name on Alec is now muscle friend.
All right. So, as you are heading south, you do go over a mountain range, the Carbomayan Mountains, actually, as from her, if they're called that. Actually, you go over it, not around it. Or through it, although Galen does insist that you could go through it if he was just allowed to press certain buttons, but Luminous has vetoed this decision before he finishes describing it.
They are good for each other, aren't they?
Why did I come?
So is Sanctimonious on this ship? Yes, no.
What's this?
Is Sanctimonious on this ship?
Oh, yes.
Okay, Anka wants to talk to him.
All right.
She's going to, like, wave him over.
Half apologize, half not. I know I, like, beat you up, but it was, like, a vertical.
That's pretty much, yeah.
Well, there is a catwalk that goes around the entire outside of the personnel area of the dirigible. There's, like, ballista mounted on either side that have been used to great or lesser effectiveness on occasion. And one bomb was dropped off of it once, too, but that's another story entirely.
Mm-hmm.
but you are able to find a spot on the catwalk where you can have a conversation, theoretically, away from prying ears.
Okay, so before I move from where I'm at, I'm going to ask Eric to watch over Peter for a little bit so he doesn't spit over the side or some such thing, and then I'm going to go talk to Sanctimonious, walk over there, okay?
Not a problem. I will make sure he will understand the wonderful axe throwing, and I will make him better at what he's going.
Hey, Eric, if we go out that door, we can be on the other side of the dirigible and we can spit over that side together.
No spitting.
He waits until Unka's out the door.
I am watching this very excited.
All right, so I'm walking out the door to go find Sanctimonious at this moment.
Okay.
Sorry for being quiet, Crash. Check your private messages when you've got time.
Okay, the city is named Brinton.
No, it's not.
Joking. Moving on.
Fahim is probably quiet because she just tried to find a place to lie down and sunbathe, and she's been lying down since.
It's still Brinton.
Galen supplies you with what looks like a sheet of metal that's got two hinges in it, so you can open it up and put it under your chin.
Okay, yeah, Fahim will use it, and she is sunbathing.
Okay.
All right.
The downside is, as a dirigible, the balloon portion is so much larger than the habitable portion that you're in shade.
Fahim will try.
Try anyway. Good job. All right. So I'm going to go over and kind of wave at Sanctimonious and start walking towards him.
You know, I'm half expecting you to try to toss me over the side here.
I'm not going to toss you over the side. I came here to apologize. I know I hit you with my spiritual weapon in the heat of battle, but I thought you had turned on us. I thought you were going to hurt my friends, and I don't handle rage well when someone I care about might be hurt. But you didn't deserve it, and I'm sorry.
I understand, and you did not need to apologize, but I accept your apology.
Thank you. I realize
that what I did was difficult to explain in the moment. One does not usually reveal that a deception has taken place or a double cross or anything like that well in advance of the most opportune time. And, well, things happened.
Yes. And I wasn't sure. So I used my spiritual weapon and not my crossbow, you see. But, yeah, that could have gone bad.
It could have, but it didn't. We live very risky lives.
Yes.
Could very well be shot out of the sky in a moment. Probably not. This thing seems to be...
Oh, I didn't want to think of that, but all right.
But still, I've heard stories about this thing versus an ancient green dragon, but I won't go into those. In any case, you and your friends have saved my life at least twice, possibly three times. I am aware of certain spells being cast on the Goliaths that were heading towards me in that battle. I owe you a debt. If it means I got hit with a spiritual weapon or two along the way, it's worth it.
Okay, so we're good?
I wouldn't say good. I mean, I do tend to burn down forests after all. But
well, I thought maybe you'd outgrow that habit.
We'll see what's in store for my character development.
I'm sorry.
I would say that there is certainly no bad blood between us at this point.
Good. That makes me feel better. And I'm going to go back and check on Peter. I left him with Eric, who I'm sure is taking good care of him, but there was mention of an axe. And, well, you understand.
There's a thump on the window as a thrown axe bounces off of the what you assumed was glass, but glass does not flex that way.
Look, Peter, you must use your wrist like so, like say, a little snap on the end. Like you have to make
like
sure
this,
line
there's
it up,
another
right?
thump.
Ankh is running off to get to that area.
It's fine, it's fine. He's not throwing it at anything crucial, and nothing's going to get through that glass beyond a fireball.
Okay, he doesn't know that one.
And I am not teaching him.
Okay.
But I can do this to cast Firebolt.
No!
What? Who taught you that?
The Firebolt hits the glass and sort of spreads out across the pane and fizzles because it didn't hit anything that it could damage.
Okay, we're going to have the fire safety talk.
Not another safety talk.
How fast is whatever we're in going?
Give me a perception check. Actually, no, that'd be insight. Perception is just seeing. Insight is knowing what you're saying.
Let's see. You said insight?
Insight.
11.
Okay. You're very high up, so it's hard for you to judge scale. But based on what you've been told about how many days' journey it was to the Carbamean Mountains, you've saved weeks of time.
So we're going fast.
If you want, you could get on the catwalk in the front of the dirigible, hold your wings out, and talk to Jack about being someone who's flying, but you don't know anyone.
Well, because like, if we were going like a normal speed, I would totally be flying alongside of my broom, but if we're going like fast, I ain't.
You get on your
that.
Broom, it's going to be one of those things where everyone just waves to you as you disappear off the horizon.
In the wrong direction. During that fire safety talk, I'm going to do the whole feel the wind behind my wings.
Barbra Streisand, sing some songs.
Yeah.
It turns out Galen can do a wonderful Barbra Streisand impression.
Ooh.
He's a bard. A high level bard. But never mind about that. At this point, Daldane's a higher level. But you don't know Daldane. So it's sad. No one in this party totally knows Daldane.
Tragic.
I know. I like referencing
also, while
things.
What's going on? While we're on this boat. Whatever flying would do. I'm going to change Lulu into a different creature. I just haven't decided which yet.
Okay.
So just so when I'm like, and now she's a blank, this is the time I'm doing that.
All right. Well, at this point, the dirigible is going over what looked like when it was off in the distance, a major city. Mm-hmm. But as you get closer, it's obvious that this city is not inhabited. The buildings are run down. It looks like several of them were collapsed. There's a castle in the middle that's in total ruins.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Okay.
And
hey,
yes, Mazir?
His name just went completely out of my head.
Which one? The guy who likes fire spells or the guy who's flying the blimp?
No, Sanctimonious I can never forget. the one who's flying the blimp.
Galen.
I ask Galen if that city's supposed to be abandoned.
It was like that when I got here.
Okay.
That's not really an answer.
Yes, well, cities I visited have tended to be destroyed in the past. It's a coincidence, I assure you. This one was like it when I got here.
Sorry, can I make a history check to see if I know anything about...
Oh, certainly.
May I, too?
You certainly may. But yours will be a disadvantage because you have never been here before.
19.
Oh, Bryn, you know everything about this area. So the free cities, as you know, do their best to be independent locales. So while they will import things and trade things, they try to not have to import any foodstuffs if they can help it. Well, this means they need large areas for crops, and sometimes there hasn't been enough in the area for every city-state that wanted to found itself. Some of them through various reasons, ended up being abandoned or being destroyed because they couldn't make it, didn't have enough resources in the area. And then the other free cities that were bordering it just sort of annexed the lands around it. But they left the city alone, except for maybe going in to grab building resources occasionally. But they don't tend to do that so much. Brigands, thieves, some minor monsters will sometimes take up residence in the cities. And they have to hire ragtag bands of adventurers to take care of that, like any other problem. Most of the cities that have ended up this way ended up this way so long ago that their original names have usually been forgotten, except for a few scholars, and maybe not even that. The locals have various names for the places. Some of them just call them the ruins.
There are ruins around. It's probably one of the places that went down due to lack of resources.
Okay. Stick a pin in that.
I got a 12, so I know that there's buildings.
Well, 12 is over the 10-point threshold.
Oh.
So you understand that some cities don't last forever.
Gotcha.
There's probably vulture people in there picking through everything right now.
Mm. Oh, by the way,
there might even be people from the previous campaign that are getting back together in order to go after those vulture people because they owe the Raven Queen a debt, but that's a one-shot campaign.
Gotcha. That's going to be fun.
By the way, Arkbeth in chat says that Bryn's hometown should be called Brynstone.
It is
It's not, but...
We did that already. I opened the kitchen door.
But you know how much I like callbacks.
True.
I think Bryn would be flabbergasted if she was from a town that shared the name as her.
Yeah. Well, I just think that...
Well, I mean, she'd probably have been left after the town if it was something like that.
No, they changed the town name because she's a local hero. You do have the folk hero trait, don't you?
It's true. It's because the town she's from is... They're not quite clear on how she got rid of the necromancer that apparently turned out to be, well, a necromancer that was causing trouble, but she did eventually kind of stagger home and explain that he was dead now, and, well, people don't tend to ask too hard what happened while you were in the necromancer's tower, because it's probably bad.
Well, there was tea and coffee.
But it might have been poisoned.
And jammy Dodgers. And don't drink the cognac, just to be safe.
On the gripping hand, we are taking Sanctimonious to this city with us. And in that case, the name of the episode could be Fire and Brimstone.
So in case you were wondering who taught a 9-year-old how to cast Firebolt, you shouldn't be wondering.
Him and I are having a great conversation about what I should do with my familiar.
His DM is only slightly concerned. Yes.
I'm stuck between making my Lulu into either a spider or a mini dragon.
Bryn walks up to Sanctimonious and smiles sweetly and says, Sanctimonious, if you teach Peter how to cast Firebolt, need to teach him how to put it out again. Got that?
But he doesn't know how to put it out.
I don't quite have a spell to put things out.
Bryn is speechless. Bryn sort of blinks at him and opens her mouth.
If you burn something long enough, it does eventually extinguish itself.
Paige is just so happy.
We didn't start the fire. It's always been burning. The world's been turning.
You already have inspiration.
I'm so sad we can't stack it.
Nope, that's the game rules. You have to be encouraged to spend it.
Dang it.
If you're that concerned, maybe the next spell you should be taught is mending.
Yes.
Old Bim comes in. Nobody got time for that.
It's a shame I don't know that cantrip.
Yes. Right. Okay. Yes, I'm going to teach him how to cast mending. I Rin wanders off muttering things about how she needs to research a certain cantrip if everyone she's around is going to be knowing fire spells but not control flames. Dang it, she did not get taught fire spells. She doesn't have any fire spells. Therefore, she didn't need control flames.
I have a thing to heal only myself. So
this is not a surprise.
Meanwhile, Vili is on the other side of the planet, literally on fire and burning dragons to death all around her.
Mm-hmm. Quite a contrast.
Meanwhile,
Anka is watching Peter try to do this fire spell again, getting ready to cast Create Water at any time, just in case.
I can probably make it go really far if I cast it over the side.
No, don't do that.
Don't do that.
How about I teach you how to put a fire out the non-magical way?
That sounds boring.
All right. Being on fire is very exciting, but we don't like that kind of excitement.
Speak for yourself.
Paige, if you're volunteering to have him cast Firebolt on you...
You didn't hear Paige say that. Paige can't say that.
I can't speak.
Oh, true. Yeah, I keep forgetting she's not mimicking.
Any words
talking.
You hear from Paige, if she's not mimicking something that someone said, it's out of character.
Yeah.
That's true.
Also, if that's what happens, you're giving me permission to use my healing spell, no matter what it means.
That is the most threatening a healing spell has ever been.
Don't worry about it.
Lumina steps in and says, I would greatly appreciate it if I didn't have to spend any spell slots today healing our passengers after they're attacked by our passengers. And we all stop to read people typing in chat.
Yeah, sorry.
and they're typing in chat so that they don't have to say it out loud, but whatever.
Mm-hmm. I decided I'm going to make Mom Lulu into a spider.
Okay. You now no longer have a creepy little octopus, the eldest of elder gods, littlest of elder gods. You now have a creepy spider who sits down beside you.
Yes, that's why. It's like crawling on my face, and I'm just letting people freak out, and it's just kind of enjoying it.
Okay.
Fahim has somehow adjusted to this side already.
Peter is mesmerized.
Yep. I also then have
a stick to poke it.
I have the spider crawl up onto the ceiling in a room I'm not in just to listen in on what's going on.
Well, if that spider climbs up on the roof of the room I'm in, it's going to be in for a boring time, because I'm still just trying to sunbathe, whether I'm in shade or not.
Well, you're on a ceiling. I don't think I have to worry about that.
All right. So you reach the end of your, not really hitchhiked, but you were offered a lift. In this case, it was a literal lift because you were airborne.
Whee!
With I'm Bryn's fine. Direction, you are landing right in front of her house, her childhood home. It is a
Crunch.
Quaint, it is a bit of a cottage. It's two stories. It has a thatched roof. The second floor is slightly smaller than the first floor, so it's got this two-tier effect that looks pretty darn cool. There is what looks like a barn structure that's out into the side a little bit that has actual shingles on that one. It's not thatch. And there are a bunch of halflings that are running around, and some of them, when they see Bryn looking over the side, immediately run in to the house. The rest of
Honey,
them are just waiting.
I see shadows outside. Can you tell me what's going on? Is rain coming? Looks like a dirigible, dear. Oh, that's nice.
Well,
I decided as we drop down to do like the backup noise from vehicles.
Beep, beep, beep. Right, so, everyone, please, please, please be on your best behavior.
Out of politeness, I, like, stand up instead of slouch. But, like, that's the most you're getting.
Fahim does not understand the question.
Mizira is not sure you want her on her very best behavior.
Okay, okay, that's fair. That's fair. Don't damage everyone. Don't damage anything. Don't hurt anyone. No firebolts inside the house.
That's doable.
No dissecting anything. I can cast them outside the house.
Oh, come on!
Not at the house. No casting them at the house. No casting them if they get the house set on fire. And
no dissecting anything
inside the house. No dissecting anything inside the house.
Okay.
If you want to dissect things, you can dissect things outside the house.
Can I help?
Question: does anyone here want to be punched?
Peter does.
I volunteer to not be punched. I also volunteer to not be punched.
Well, you seem like cool people, so I'm not going to punch you unless you're up for it.
I change my mind.
I'm always up for a good fight.
Someone else going, I do.
There's a guy a couple of doors down who says he's the toughest guy in Letterkenny.
I will immediately walk to that house and challenge him to a fight.
I got that reference.
But yeah, I mimic a. But I'm
look for the fruit stand.
Eric going, I do. I don't want to get punched. Anyway.
Odd thing happened at the produce stand. Yep. Oh, all right. So the dirigible comes to a gentle landing, and as the halflings that are there don't quite know what to do with the dirigible landing in their front lawn, Galen and Luminous set about to securing it. They are still wearing their Hawaiian print outfits because technically they are still on their honeymoon, and they're not going to let a volcano exploding ruin that. I mean, it did kind of ruin it for a while, but they're getting better. And it is time for everyone to disembark. I'm assuming you do so?
I was...
Yep.
I was 95% sure you were going to say roll initiative.
No. Because this is not a situation where I say roll initiative. This is a situation where I tell Bryn to roll a constitution save.
Oh, because of running children.
Yes.
Bryn is at the bottom.
Yes, indeed. Two of them.
So that's a six.
You are prone and grappled.
What the? Hello,
And there are two excited children who you recognize as cousins of yours. And
hey,
now I have to look up their names real quick because I wrote them down. Pluto and Karen. They are fraternal twins.
Pluto, Karen, it's been a long time. How have you been?
What'd you bring me?
I
got a loose tooth. You want to see?
Yes. Bryn says that because, yes, she would love to see the loose tooth. That will get off the subject of presents, which she does not actually have.
Okay. I do want to see the teeth when they fall out.
All right, so Pluto's the one that said he has a loose tooth, and he reaches into his mouth to wiggle the tooth, and he pulls it out. And then he looks at that he's holding it in his hand. His hand is no longer in his mouth. He's just holding it in front of you.
I was hiding behind Orc Lady, but now my head is around going, ooh.
His mouth is filling with blood from pulling this tooth out accidentally. And his eyes, now keep in mind, these are halfling children. Mm-hmm. They're not even quarterlings at this point. But his eyes are the size of dinner plates as he's about to cry. You see it coming.
I am slowly approaching him now behind Bryn, trying to be like, huh?
God, I don't suppose you have any spells about dentistry, do you?
No.
So
I can cast Healing Word on him and at least stop the blood.
That might be overkill.
It might be overkill.
It's just
like a bandage on his mouth.
It was hanging on by like a little tiny bit of gum.
Okay, like, but see,
as 5-year-olds are wont to do, this may have actually occurred in my classroom. Is all I'm saying.
Right, I understand that, but Onka is a half-orc, and she's not too sure how badly this hurts humans when they lose their
tooth. Half-orcs are like, oh, lost another tooth.
Yeah,
a baby tooth?
No big deal.
Nah.
Yeah, it's not a big deal, but she wasn't sure if this was serious based on the kid's reaction.
If World of Warcraft has taught me anything, it's that orcs like to pierce their teeth. Mm. Yeah. So
I take the tooth.
Paige, roll me a charisma check.
If they ask, it's just because I want to hold it while she gets healed.
Yeah, but you can't exactly answer since you're...
At a 17? Is that enough?
So Pluto is mesmerized by this giant bird that just came over and took his tooth. He just stares at you. He has totally forgotten to cry. There's blood leaking out of his mouth still. There's snot coming down from his nose. Prestidigitation only cleans this for one round. I'm just saying.
Brim keeps casting it.
Remember, these are five-year-olds. I've been
there's
there.
A lot of blood.
I know what this is like. There is no keeping anything clean for more than 6 seconds. No. And 6 seconds is pushing it. But they just look at you, this total mess on their face, and they go, "Are you the tooth fairy?" Give me a constitution save.
Gosh. I can already tell you that Paige is just kind of at least once just blinks like, what? What?
I imagine because Paige can't really say what, that is just sort of like she stands up a little bit straighter and her head tilts to the side.
Yeah, head tilt and like the jaw's a little low and I rolled a 9.
You are now prone and grappled. The good news is, Bryn, you are no longer grappled. And now instead of saying, what'd you bring me, we hear, tooth fairy, tooth fairy, tooth fairy, tooth fairy, and it's coming from both of them.
I'm doing everything I can to not cast magic on them. I know that they're little ones, but I want to cast Arms of Hadar. Because they're touching me.
Oh, yeah. And their hands were not clean before.
Of course not.
Okay, I'm kind of tempted to just grab Paige by the neck and, you know, just one arm, pick her up out of the pile.
Give me a strength athletics check.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, because they can see that I'm like twitching and like trying to not react.
While this is going on, Anka's going to walk over to Eric and go, "What is a tooth fairy?"
Got a 15.
Congratulations, you have successfully picked up Paige and 2 5-year-old halflings that are holding on to Paige by the feathers.
So basically, the humans of this world, pretty much they go and they tell their kids that a magical fairy comes around and collects their teeth because they have no idea what to tell them, and they feel bad about them not being able to provide for their family. So they give them an excuse to give them a little bit of coin every once in a while, so they don't have to do it throughout the year. It's unfortunate, but, you know, it is what it is.
Man, I almost made my familiar into
Anka is confused, but
Eric,
accepts
that is
it.
Not being on your best behavior.
I am doing really well to not hit children. Okay.
And also, fairies collecting body parts is rarely a good thing.
Eric,
it's only a tooth.
Let me be very serious with you right now. If you even imply around my mom that she cannot provide for her family, you're going to die. Not because I did something, but because the look my mom will give you will cause you to spontaneously combust. No, she's not a wizard. She's not a sorcerer.
She's a mom.
But you'll spontaneously
She's a mom. That's the most
combust.
Powerful spellcaster.
True facts.
Also,
for example, right now you are hearing a very loud voice go, "Pluto, Karen, you'd best not be bothering our guests." And apparently this was a spell that cast summon child, because they immediately
walking to be like, "Come help, SOS, help."
They disengage. You didn't think a 5-year-old do disengage, but apparently they do. And run off into the house. And squeeze past probably the largest halfling that you have ever seen. What she lacks in height, she makes up for in girth. And you realize that the door that she's walking through is a bit wider than most doors you've seen, probably to accommodate her. But she has a genuinely warm smile on her face as she comes through, and she sees Bryn. And she opens up her arms and says...
And Bryn rushes Bryn. Over to hug her.
It is another touching, wonderful moment, but there's no awkwardness at all, except for everyone who's watching this.
I hug Fahim.
Fahim just goes with the flow and hugs you back.
Thank you.
You saved me from the small, messy children with snot covering their faces.
One children.
Okay, so Bryn, you're about 6 inches off the ground because your mom did that thing where when you're hugging, you lean back and the other person is now suddenly suspended in the air. This has occurred, and...
I pocket the tooth.
And on that touching moment, we're going to go to commercial break, which basically means we're going to take a 5-minute break. There will not be any actual commercials.
No.
After these messages...
We'll be right back.
It's my birthday.
Happy birthday!
Birthday!
Welcome back, Cotter.
Welcome back.
I'm glad some of us caught that reference.
I saw some images of Welcome Back, Cotter. I keep pronouncing it Cotter, but whatever. Welcome Back, Carter Halloween costumes that they were the Halloween costume equivalents of the fan fiction that Millie reads on her stream.
So you
pronounce it Welcome Back Kata because you're thinking of the prequel series Hello Terra.
It's true.
All right.
That one I don't get. Hello,
Terra and Kata.
Oh, now I got it. Okay.
There we go. Now I get the reference. And I still think it's funny, even though it was explained to me. But in any case, right before the break, we introduced you to Bryn's mom, whose name is Jupiter.
Great band. So nice of them to meet with a fan.
Whose name is what?
Sorry.
Jupiter Wanderwind.
Jupiter Wanderwind.
Yes. And she occasionally lets you get a word in edgewise, but she is very glad to meet all of Bryn's friends. And so nice of you to come and visit and make sure that Bryn is safe when she's out there adventuring. She's a hero, don't you know?
We need initiative so rolls words. For this conversation.
Oh, no, that's not going to help because she gets multiple attacks when it comes to conversation.
She gets multiple lines per round.
Yeah, she is the monk equivalent of conversationalist, but she also took levels in rogue. So she
four
gets
senses
sneak attack.
Every word.
Her husband, Carpo, is actually very used to this because the most you've heard out of him so far is yes, dear, which he occasionally uses as a punctuation for one of Jupiter's sentences because he knows he's not going to get in any of his own. He waves to you as you are introduced to him and then just goes back to smoking his pipe. But he's then told to not smoke in the house when there's children, so he puts the pipe away. You've already met Pluto and Charon. They are the children of Europa and Titan Wanderwind, so cousins on Bryn's father's side. There will be a quiz later.
Oh, no.
In case you're wondering.
Good thing I don't have to answer that.
Fahim will just fail the quiz.
Also, by the way, since the initial bum rush by children... I'm actually just kind of like tugging behind Fahim, like holding on to the shirt tails for safety.
This is wise, actually. I'm going to say, Fahim, how do you feel about what Bryn's doing? Not Bryn, what Paige is doing?
I am okay with it.
All right. Are you going to assist Paige in avoiding small children?
Yes.
Yes.
And give me a dexterity check.
Uh-oh.
Do I have to give one?
Well, we're going to see how this goes.
Oh, true.
I got a 19.
You are successfully able to prevent yourself from being flanked. You have only seen this level of tactics and planning in death-defying combat before. But apparently, it's also used by small children who want to pet the bird thing. They are attracted to the bird thing more because the bird thing appears to be terrified of them, and they can smell fear, as all small children can. They don't understand it. They just know that makes it more appealing.
What are the gnolls doing? Because I suddenly have concerns.
The gnolls have been giving all of the children in the household and possibly a few from neighboring households, it's hard to tell, piggyback rides.
Okay.
And slobbering on everything.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm imagining belly rubs.
Oh yeah, there is the one that's flat on its back, and it's got the one leg that's sort of like scratching in the air as the kid that's giving it a belly rub is scratching faster on its belly. Yes.
Okay, everyone's playing nice. That's good.
Well, I imagine Bryn has standing orders to not attack family.
Well, yes, but the children don't have standing orders not to chew on the gnolls, hit them with sticks.
This is true, but I'm thinking of those families where they have a family dog and they have a small child.
You think it's big dog?
And the dog demonstrates a level of patience that just lets us know that we don't deserve dogs.
They're golden retriever gnolls.
More or less.
Soft touch.
There's one of them that's just standing there looking at Bryn with a sad face while a small child is hanging by its jowls.
One of my dogs used to do that. My dog used to have like 8 children jump on him and he would just stare at me like, I get treats when we get home, right?
This gnoll is expecting treats. If the treat is the child that's hanging from its jowls, it will appreciate that. There's a small whimper.
Oh no.
Bryn, come on. We have subjects to discuss.
Do we?
Vis-a-vis the book?
Yes, we have subjects to discuss. Yes.
Oh, yes, Bryn does love reading. She loves reading all the time. And aren't I always saying that, dear? Yes, dear. Yes, indeed. You should see how many books she has in her library.
I am listening.
And she goes on to describe a lot of books, some of which are obviously children's series books.
Yes.
That Bryn may or may not have read in the past 20 years, but all of them were kept.
Of course.
The particular book might have been a lot less wholesome and a lot more full of doom.
Oh, you haven't started reading teen romances, have you?
No, Mom, I grew out of that multiple years ago.
No problem at all. And she goes back to preparing what some of you might think of as a feast, but all the halflings present know is just lunch.
No, it was a magic book. And it was not a friendly magic book. It was full of doom. And we're kind of here to make sure that there isn't any doom.
I love doom.
One of the small children starts singing, doom, 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 doom,
doom, doom, doom, doom, doom, doom, doom. Believe me, man. Doom, doom, doom. The doom is no brainer.
The thing is that the mom doesn't recognize it because mom doesn't know me, but you guys have recognized it enough that I'm making like the body motion of speak for yourself.
You know what? I'm going to help Jupiter with her cooking.
All right.
I don't necessarily know what I'm doing as far as the cooking is concerned, but my knife skills are exquisite.
Well, those end up being used, and of course you can reach the things on the top shelf.
That's true.
Oh, there you go.
You would think that a domicile built for halflings wouldn't have the shelves go that high, but there is the need for a lot of cooking supplies.
It's one of the few kitchens with a ladder built in.
Oh yeah, it's one of those things where it's on like the little wheels.
It's like a library ladder. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. It is a library ladder, but it's in a kitchen, and it's one of those ladders where you're pretty sure at least one point every child in the household and perhaps a few of the adults has done the whole bell at the beginning.
Whee!
Yeah.
Yep.
At the beginning of the movie thing where you just slide around and
Unka's going to amuse the children that are around by casting light on little rocks and handing them one.
Oh yeah, okay. And I can use Mage Hand to get things off the especially high shelves.
There you go.
Yeah, light lasts for an hour, so that ought to give them something to do.
I send my spider up to the ceiling, because it's hiding in my clothes, to look for these books I heard about. Because at least, at the very least, I can laugh at them later.
Oh no.
And I step outside to practice with my new flying broom.
Unka, you find it very hard to keep the kids' attention once the bird starts flying around on a broom.
Okay, now I'm going to stop casting light until the bird on a broom flies out of range of their sight, and then continue, and that's done.
I go outside.
Right, but I'm outside.
They all follow.
Children, so. Oh, you guys are all outside.
I guess.
I'm not too far away from the food. I want food.
The food isn't ready yet.
Yeah, but I don't want to go away.
Okay.
What if food's ready while I'm waiting?
Bryn, you have a younger sister named Larissa, and she comes over and sits down next to you. Hi, Bryn.
Hey.
She's got a smile on her face. You have fun adventuring?
Yeah. It's been great. It's been interesting. Except for the doom. There's been a bit too much doom. But don't worry, we're going to make sure that there's no doom here.
Speak for yourself.
Oh, I got. You're gonna learn something.
Is something wrong?
Oh, not for me. I'm fine.
My doom sense.
Larissa.
Bryn.
Larissa, are you going to tell me what's happened this time?
Oh, nothing. Nothing bad at all. But,
Larissa.
Remember Triton?
Larissa.
Triton is a young man who lives maybe halfway across town. You remember him growing up. He was always, incredibly awkward.
What happened with Triton?
Nothing. But, Mom invited him to lunch when she found out that you were home.
Oh, no.
I think that might have been his reaction, too.
I'm now cackling up on the broomstick because I have my spider listening in on this juicy gossip. And I can, we can telepathically talk. But, it's fine. I'm up on the air. Don't worry about me.
Yeah. The entire time you've been gone, she's been talking about how now that you're a hero and all, it's time for you to settle down and raise a family.
Aren't those things kind of the opposite of each other?
She shrugs.
Yeah, I know.
By the way, if no one's guessed, all the NPCs are named for either planets, dwarf planets, or moons.
Good.
Wait, then I completely got one of the cousins' names wrong. Oh, yes, I did. Okay.
By the way, I found your copy of Slow Me.
Yeah, I did not get Pluto and Chiron. I got Pluto and Karen.
I've heard it pronounced both ways, so I went the way that sounded more like Karen with a K, because...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought the same.
My burb's flying.
Well, in any case, I just wanted to let you know there might be some expected fireworks.
Thanks, I appreciate it.
Oh, no. No, thank you.
Okay, now I'm concerned again.
And she walks off to save one of the gnolls from a small child.
Oh, no. Well, all right. Look, I've handled plenty of things. I can handle awkward attempt by my mother to set me up with Triton.
I'm just saying, I am a DM who has thrown an ancient green dragon against a party that was only level 3, and this is the most terrifying scenario I have ever concocted.
I can murder him. No!
I'm fairly certain that you have inspiration already.
Well, that accelerated quite quickly.
I'm sorry. I am a chaotic, evil Kenku. What do you want out of me?
You're fitting it very well.
Gosh. I'm trying.
Technically speaking, assassination solves a lot of problems.
Like, you guys want me to be your friend?
Or start some more.
I mean, it causes problems, too.
Don't friends, like, threaten to murder exes or something? Is that, like, part of girl code or something like that?
Is that what we're calling it today?
I'm gonna totally, like, oh my gosh, your ex is trying to talk to you again? I'll fight him. Like, I thought I was doing the right thing. Anyway, sorry. I haven't had many chances to roll for inspiration, okay? I would use it if I could.
I gave you combat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
A needle pulling thread.
Indeed. Are we coming up on lunch?
Oh, yes.
Then I reluctantly step deck down.
By the way, the entire house smells incredible.
Oh, good.
And for about 20 feet away from the front door, you can still smell it.
Oh,
that might be where I'm at with all the kids.
Good.
All right. So Jupiter sends some of the children out to go tell the other kids that it is lunchtime. And everyone runs in. And she directs the seating arrangements. None of the party members are sitting next to other party members. You are all sitting next to...
Oh, no!
At least 2 halflings.
Nobody is surprised.
Yes. And, of course, Bryn, you are sitting right next to Triton.
So, Triton...
And Triton is on the other side of Triton is Jupiter. So he is stuck between 2 Wanderwinds.
Oh.
And he was never really a big halfling, which I know isn't saying much, but he looks like he's actively trying to compress himself into a smaller form.
Oh, poor thing.
Bryn to the left of me. Jupiter to the right. Here I am stuck in the middle. And that's our copyright violation for the night, folks.
Yes. Yes, it is. Yeah. And he is just kind of like picking at his food, and he's only eating twice as much as a human would eat.
So it's been a while.
I have a question, Crash.
Yeah.
Meant to ask this earlier. So that octopus mouth that you gave me in my dream,
that you woke up. You have that for real.
Okay, I that's what was my question. Because I might use it as a distraction to get the kids to not attack me by doing a mouth puppet with it.
You might also terrify them, which might get them to stop attacking you.
God. Anyway.
Wow. I assume the kids are all keeping somewhat of a distance from me.
Give me a charisma check.
All right.
And let me know if you are trying to make them keep a distance from you.
No, not at all.
I would love for them to go to Mizir.
A 21.
Well, there are enough strange individuals who are from out of town for everybody. It's a really big family.
Yeah. That's why they're not worried about Anka.
So there's a few of them that think you are the coolest thing. You may or may not have had to avoid someone grabbing hold of your tail to see if it's real.
I figured they would tend to avoid a literal devil, but okay.
So they're asking questions like, do your eyes glow in the dark? Do you eat souls?
Ugh.
Only when I can't get access to your mom's cooking.
That's a great answer.
So if you don't eat lunch, you're going to eat someone's soul?
Not yours. I would never eat your soul.
As soon as you... While you're talking to this person...
Maybe hers.
While you're talking to this person, the maybe hers that you're gesturing to, is the person who, when they find out, oh, if you don't eat, you might eat someone's soul. They were trying to take your plate away from you. And then when you say maybe hers, they just kind of slide the plate right back and put some of the stuff from their plate onto your plate.
Good. Oh.
Good. Unfortunately, none of this hilarious moment is observed by Bryn.
Good.
Who is distracted by Triton.
Not so much Triton, but by Jupiter, who is telling Bryn all about Triton and telling Triton all about Bryn. Apparently, Triton has a job as an apprentice right now in a bakery.
Ugh.
It's a very well-paying, respectable job. I mean, you can make decent money as a baker. Like, enough to, you know, get a small cottage. Maybe, you know, raise a family. You know, what a respectable halfling does once they've, you know, had some time to go out and do their adventuring. Bryn just finished her adventuring, after all. Didn't you know that, Triton?
Finished might not be the right word.
Oh, nonsense, dear. You're back home. It's time to start a family. I want to hear the pitter-patter of little feet. As she's saying this, there's like three children running underneath the table.
I'm doing the Kenku equivalent of the eyebrow raise.
I'm a wizard. When I settle down, there's going to be less pitter-patter of little feet and more, the sound of lessons and the scratch of little pens. And did you know I'm teaching Peter magic?
I can cast Firebolt.
No!
Don't do that, Peter.
At the same time, Bryn yells no. Sanctimony says, not in the house!
I give a thumbs up. Dang it.
The bird and several small children are disappointed.
God.
Some of the larger people are also disappointed, but they won't admit it. Meanwhile, the gnolls are outside the house. They have all been given a sizable bowl that's been filled with food, and they are kind of doing a mix of eating the food and pushing it out of the bowl onto the ground because they're eating just like a dog would if they were, in fact, given a lot of people food in a bowl.
No.
And if they enjoy it a lot, they'll be doing little dog dancing like we've seen in little videos and things.
Well, one of them has found their way back inside the house because they are humanoids. They do understand how doors work. And it's just sort of sitting there under the table, looking expectantly at Unka.
Looking
for some reason, they know that Bryn will probably not sneak food under the table to them. But Unka... Unka
they think I will.
That's why they don't think that I would, because I wrote on their shoulders. I love them. They're my chariot.
Are they giving me puppy eyes?
Roll versus puppy eyes.
Oh, no. Okay. I think
Fahim would automatically fail versus puppy eyes.
I've rolled a one. I'm giving them little bits of food.
You find that there are now two gnolls under the table giving you puppy dog eyes.
Yeah, just here. We're just like breaking off little bits of food and kind of tossing it to them.
Perfect.
One of the slightly older children has placed Chip on the table and is letting it eat off the plate. And Bryn, I will let you decide how you feel about this, but there is a pause in the conversation about all the wonderful things that Triton has done to make himself a respectable citizen of the town, while she yells at, you think it's a cousin? Maybe second cousin twice removed. It's hard to keep track of these things to get that filthy thing off the table.
That's my familiar. Oh, come here, Chip, come here. Get off the table. We don't sit on the table at lunch. Come on, Chip.
Chip looks aghast because it wasn't his idea to be on the table.
I'm sorry. Bryn beckons Chip onto her shoulders, which are not the table.
This is true. But your mom looks scandalized.
He's a familiar.
Well, you shouldn't be familiar with vermin.
I just kind of like stop and I like look also because you know, I have a spider in my clothes right now. And I'm like, what?
I'm glad I have Raum patrolling over the farm.
I am a giant magic bird.
Yeah, you are not a rat.
I have a magic spider. They don't know this. It's still in my clothing.
It's probably for the best.
Yeah, I wanted to keep it safe in there, Lulu safe in there, and now I'm sitting there going, uh-uh.
He's a good familiar. Rats are perfectly respectable familiars.
Valid.
Well, I don't really want it in the house.
Oh, I'm fine. I'm sorry. Fine. I'm sorry, Chip. And Bryn dismisses Chip into a pocket dimension.
I am concerned about the images that are being found in GIF form right now.
Ugh. I do not put my spider into the pocket dimension. I just make sure they're still hidden.
Matter of fact, the more I see these GIFs, the more disturbing they are.
Someone spent way too much effort on these.
Someone's probably gotten a commission to make those.
True.
Yeah.
And that derailed the adventure.
Sorry.
Anyway,
it wasn't you that found them.
This is true.
All right. Well, right after you banished Chip, one of the kids who apparently had already eaten and gone outside to play again, because there's puppies out there. Yes, they're gnolls, but so far as the halflings are concerned, they're puppies.
Puppies.
Yes. One of them runs back in and says, the hands are back.
The what?
Oh, what a horrible time for this. Right, where's my broom?
Hands.
All right, come on, children. Let's go take care of this.
We're in my
and several of them.
Something I need too. To punch.
Hands? What's this about hands?
You are not getting answers so much as half the people who are having lunch all head out the door grabbing various things, including a broom, a few shovels, a rake. There are Bryn several
follows.
People who don't even stop eating. One of them is your father. He doesn't seem to do much, to be honest.
He's a passive dad.
He's a very passive dad. He hasn't
Just
even
because
said a
there's
joke.
A fight coming doesn't mean you need to stop eating your dinner.
Exactly.
He knows his wife's got it.
Bryn grabs the last bite of her food and then follows. Nervously.
I like that she took a moment to pause and finish her food.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
Halfling.
Nice.
Yep.
All right, Anka's going to follow, and she's going to tell Peter to stay put.
Aww.
I want to see the hands.
Sanctimonious also goes out. All right, so you get out, and pretty much everyone is kind of in a line and staring at a hand that is skittering down the road towards the house.
Oh no.
Ooh. Like
just
a, like cousin it? Like
No, not well cousin yeah. It's the
like
one with all
the
hair.
Yeah,
this
sorry,
is
sorry.
Thing.
The hand, just the ooh.
Yeah, thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm paying attention.
Thing without the box. Because I'm thinking old school Adam's Family. But yes.
Oh, okay.
Also it looks like it's seen better days. This thing is missing chunks of flesh in some places.
Bad days.
Ooh. Oh, no.
Ooh.
Bryn takes off towards it.
Jupiter is
all right,
upset.
I'll follow.
You call this out for this? There's only one of them this time.
I want to catch it and do some experiments.
Bryn wants to catch it, too.
Yeah!
I'm suddenly deeply curious about something, but it's... I don't think I'm going to get a chance to find out.
Well, who's going to do what? Who's planning on
I'm following Bryn.
And doing something to his hand?
Eric's going to stand still watching all of this go on and shaking his head.
I am going to take out my staff of the python, you know, Koo, and I'm going to make it into the giant python to wrap around the hand and hold it still.
I'm going to try to catch the hand with my hands.
Okay, so here's what I want the two of you to do.
Yeah.
Just the two of you, because we have been playing for over 2 hours. Roll initiative.
Yes. Oh. 19.
Okay, and I rolled very low for the hand.
I got
crit
a
10. Fail can't happen for rolling initiative, but if it could, it did.
Tripped on its way into combat.
So you're throwing a giant python at the hand.
Yeah.
With the attempt to capture?
Yeah.
Okay. Then we need to look up the stats for giant python and have you roll a grappling check.
Okay. Let me...
So that would be... You're going to be rolling a d20 either way.
Yeah, I just got to figure out how to get to that again. You know, it's been a while since I've looked at the stats for my snake. Gosh.
Giant constrictor snake has +4 to strength.
Okay. So d20 cool. +4.
I'll figure out my actual python stats later.
Oh, sorry. +6 to hit for constrict.
So +6?
Yeah.
14.
Okay, so the python successfully wraps around in a ball, and you see the hand crawling over top of it and free.
Oh.
Because that's a dirty 20.
Gosh, oh. What?
All right, so now it's Bryn's turn. You're going to try to catch the hand with a hand. You're going to give it a hand.
Yeah.
Or get a hand. All right, give me a grapple check.
How do I do that?
Roll d20 and add either strength or dexterity.
Oh, excellent. I can use dexterity. All right.
Well, I don't know if you can always, but the DM can allow it.
15.
You have successfully captured the hand. It's wiggling its fingers
good.
At you.
I'm going to examine it. I want to see if I recognize the handiwork.
I am looking at it, too.
DM is here for this content.
I am looking at it, too. I am doing some, I don't know, arcana check?
I'm doing arcana.
No, you may both roll arcana.
Oh, wait. I'm just going to cast... detect... It's obviously magic. I don't know what type it meant.
25!
It might be a trick of cinematography. With a 25, it
I got
and
17.
17 for the bird, you are both aware that this is obviously magical. It's obviously undead.
No way.
It is a lesser form of undead. Not that bright, oddly enough. Doesn't have any brains. So, yeah. Let me click on something here. What more can I share? Fahim is just like, but can I punch it?
Fahim, it is a punch.
Yeah, it's a walking punch. So, as you're holding it, have you ever held a gyroscope?
Yeah.
Where it kind of wants to bend in certain ways against the way you're holding it. It's kind of doing that as Bryn holds it. Where it doesn't have a lot of mass, but it does know that Bryn's holding it, and it kind of tries to reach out and get to Bryn.
Yeah, you're a wiggly little thing.
I'm ready to cast Dispel Magic the second it gets too annoying.
You're a real wiggly little thing.
And this is called a crawling claw. You've read about these before.
Me? Or her?
Yes.
Yes.
I would say a 17 means that you know something about it. A 25 just means that you know all the footnotes about it as well.
Ah. So it's called a crawling hand?
A crawling claw. Crawling. Although it's technically not a claw. It's a hand. And they're low-level undead, but they don't... Like, ghosts don't have to be created. They can just be something that happens when somebody dies. Crawling claws don't just happen. They... are created with specific magical rituals.
Mm-hmm.
Technically, the severed hand of a murderer is turned into a crawling claw.
Oh. Ooh.
Yeah, I know what you are. Bryn sort of looks at it distastefully, but also kind of pats it.
I open my bag and I just kind of open it up towards her.
No, you can't have it.
Aww.
Right, well, it's only one of them, and dinner's getting cold. Well, lunch, whatever.
How long have they been showing up?
Oh, not long. 3-4 months.
Keep making grabby
hands. Nothing major.
Where have they been?
What direction? What direction was that necromancer you dealt with?
I'm not sure Bryn's mentioned. Has she mentioned the necromancer?
I don't think she has.
I don't think so.
You mentioned, sorry... You mentioned someone... You have mentioned a
Eo has mentioned the necromancer, but Bryn's been very mum on
that.
Yeah. No. You mentioned that, whenever necromancers existed, you've been less than pleased, but that's all we really got.
Okay, I take it back then. I thought it was party knowledge that she had... That her folk hero thing was dealing with necromancers.
It might be now, depending on what Jupiter has said, but...
Okay.
Then I Jupiter said a lot, but there were a lot of children asking a lot of questions, so you might not have been listening at certain points.
I withdraw the question.
Sorry. Bryn is looking serious.
Jupiter is already trying to herd all the children back into the house.
My spider familiar crawls out and takes a little chunk out of their hand.
He's supposed to be dead.
So I can have that for later.
It's a long story.
We got lots of time.
I gently place my head, my beak right on my like feathers, you know, and the whole like I'm listening. So, I'm all ears.
Does the Zeppelin have like staterooms and quarters for us?
It has lead. The Zeppelin's already gone. Left.
Yeah, I thought maybe they'd
It has lead.
His name's Seelan. He taught me magic.
Oh. Tell me more.
Okay.
Is Paige Mimic saying that?
I might be humming it.
You're not making weird crawling hands, so...
And like, what's going on? Now I'm kind of like, but does that mean you know how to?
If Paige wants answers, Paige is going to have to ask.
I'm kind of pointing at that and pointing at the crawling hand and crawling at, pointing at you going, huh? Huh?
Are you asking me if I can make these?
Uh-huh.
All right, fine. Yes, my master, my mentor, who I went away with to learn magic from, was a necromancer, and he was nothing resembling a good person, and he may have been plotting to take over one of the free cities and institute his twisted idea of a utopia. And yes, I might know how to create undead, but that doesn't mean I'm going to do it. And he's supposed to be dead because I poisoned him.
Ooh.
I love the creative uses of may and might.
That was a lot of answers.
I love a lot of details.
I love how Bryn? Paige is going through a roller coaster of emotions right now.
I was super into everything that you learned and everything that you did. And then you're like, oh, but I won't do it. But then you're like, but I know how. And then
but I poisoned him.
And I poisoned him. And I was like, oh, yes.
Bryn, I confess that I have more respect for you.
Same.
So let's go investigate this, shall we?
Yes, because if he's not dead, then I am going to have to kill him again.
Ooh.
As many times as it takes.
We'll help you this
time. Now that sounds like a person worth punching.
Because this is my home, and he can't have it.
Sanctimonious joins the conversation and says, yes, well, you might have to race your mother to get him because it looks like a bunch of the crawling claws just destroyed her garden over there.
Also, I look at Sanctimonious and I make the fire. You know, because
there are some beings in the multiverse that you do not cross, and having only known Bryn's mother for 2-3 hours now, I know that she is one such being.
Well, no, then I hold up the hand, and I point to the hand and go, Mom, like mom of hand.
You're not holding up that hand, I have that hand.
Now listen, I have not met a problem I couldn't punch.
Oh yeah, I had my spider take a chunk of that hand for me.
They're digging up the garden?
More of them! I pick up my snake staff and go.
Okay.
Wait. This is not to crash. This is in character.
Mm-hmm.
They're digging up the garden.
Well, they're going through the garden. You can see they took down several of the crops already.
What's in the garden?
Attacking people.
They don't seem to be attacking anyone. Just plants. I dare say they're not very bright.
I look at...
They're here for a reason, and I think I know what that reason is.
Yeah, I look at Bryn and I point at the garden. And I'm like, what's there?
Okay, do I know that there's something under the garden?
Roll a history check.
Oh.
Okay, one moment. I think that's plus four.
So I'm getting some, out of character, I'm getting some Zelda 2 vibes.
No, you have to go around breaking grass for rupees.
So
you don't think, you remember an older sibling telling you a tale about how the siblings that were even older than you were buried in the garden because they did something to make mom angry? And you remember believing it at the time. And then you grew older and you thought it was foolish.
And now you're thinking, necromancy.
Peter has ventured closer because when Mazir says, wait, that means to Peter, oh, I should go closer.
Keep going.
Grim's going and to start marching towards...
Because of course.
It looks like the academy.
What do you
Grim
mean?
Grim starts marching towards the garden.
Look, see?
What looks like the academy?
What they carved into the garden.
I'm going over to take a look at whatever they carved into the garden. Oh, and I'm hoping to step on and squish a few of these things on the way.
If they're carving anything, I can read it.
Oh, you don't need to read it. You all immediately recognize it.
Okay.
Because you've all encountered it before. It's an arcane circle.
Something's
coming.
Is it going
to start digging through the ground?
Oh no.
As soon as you approach, they finish and it immediately starts glowing.
Fine, then.
Sounds like they're bringing something to punch. I'm game.
Thaumaturgy to every thaumaturgy to increase the volume of my voice.
I thought you were going to close all the windows.
Yeah, and I turn back to the house. Everybody, find cover.
You're not my dad.
I disguise myself as his dad. And copy the voice going.
Her.
Listen to your mother.
Her dad.
Right. Her.
All right. So that's where we're going to end it tonight. We'll begin the next session by rolling for initiative because there's no way we're doing combat tonight.
No, that's not a good idea.
All right. So thank you, everyone. Thank you, everyone, for playing. Thank you, everyone, for listening. I was joined tonight by a bunch of awesome people, including Eric, Io, Jen, Mazir, who was formerly named Ellie, but you changed your name in chat, Millie, that mimic over there named Kevin, Cindy, and Archibald's hanging out in chat like usual, saying that you should probably throw a radish at it. That will solve the problem.
It will.
Yeah, there might be fraggles and doozers involved if you're throwing radishes, though. Be careful. All right, plugs. So, going through the list, Ellie has a social media site called Ellic.xyz, where the topics are usually about gaming, including tabletop gaming, but also a lot of video games. Hence the World of Warcraft reference in the name. Signing up is free for a limited time because eventually the heat death of the universe will occur, so the time is limited in that regard.
I don't have an Elk account. They're going to get one.
Yay.
It's cool. There's a lot of cool people there.
Join us.
Eric, by the way, streams on twitch.tv/untamedsin. That's S-Y-N for sin. And I think the last time you were streaming, it was a Witcher playthrough?
Yep, I'm doing a whole Witcher playthrough to commemorate the new Netflix show. I think the leak came out that it was going to be December 17th.
Ooh. So not that far away. And EO's mom writes books. You can find those at elizabeth-mccoy.com. Jen has a blog and podcast. You can find that at bookofjen.net. Millie is everywhere as Magical Millie, including twitch.tv/magicalmillie, where she reads fan fiction that will make your head hurt. Not written by her.
Our current fan fiction is terrible.
My hope is that they write it with the intention of making it be terrible, but I do teach middle school.
There's 191 chapters.
Ugh.
We're on chapter 40.
I'm so sorry.
You're in for a long ride.
Oh, man, it's so good.
There are some things that where they are so terrible, they come back around and become good.
Yes.
This is not one of them.
Oh, yes.
Well, that is how I feel about it, because the teacher in me wants to start, like, correcting things and, like, crossing out.
Same.
Okay, that's the wrong there. And you've used this word 5 times in the same paragraph. You got to find a thesaurus. There are other words that you can use and spell.
Most of these aren't because of that. It's just more of because they can't write. Like, they might be able to use correct words, but, man, they don't know how stories work.
Well, it is a learned skill, but never mind about that. As a teacher who tries to teach these things, it hurts when I see something where I cannot help. But we also have a Patreon.
You're not reading that, are you? Millie, you're not reading that, are you?
Oh, I already did.
Okay.
I read that entire fic in Valley Girl voice.
Oh, no.
My name is Abane Dakras Demantara Vanwa.
Oh, no.
I have Amine Black that goes down to my wars with limpid blue tears.
No.
I need to change the rating system for this particular stream. Not because of the content is for mature audiences, but to limit the number of people who have to listen to it.
Yeah.
all right. And we have a Patreon, patreon.com/cogwheelgaming, that helps keep the lights on. There was a brief period of time where we were breaking even, and then I started spending more money to make things more awesome. So, yeah, there's a bunch of awesome people who provide for that service, including, as I bring up the list, Alice and Chris and Cindy and Ellie and Eric all donate. And they are awesome people, and you can be awesome as well by, you know, throwing a few bucks per month our way. Okay, and until next time, this is Crash saying, oh, he's a wonderful, respectable young man. Goodbye.
Bye.
And you can do a big pig too.
Bye.